Are you a first-time home buyer? Not sure where to start or what you need to know? Buying a home can be overwhelming, but it doesn't have to be. From figuring out a starting point to what you should focus on to buy sooner rather than later, we will show you and talk to you about how to navigate the home buying process. I'm Nick Gumper, a realtor based out of Southern California, and with me, as always, is Jalen McKenna, a mortgage advisor in Colorado. And today we'll be discussing some useful tips when buying as a first-time home buyer. From preferences and working with a lender to today's market conditions and other costs outside of your down payment, we cover everything you need to know to get started on your home buying journey. If you want to buy a home in the next month or next year, stay tuned.
Welcome to Beyond Real Estate with Jalik, the podcast discussing parenting, real estate, and business. Every week we go in depth on how to become successful in life and business. Nick, take it away.
Thank you for joining us here on another edition of Real Estate Roundup. And again, we're addressing first-time homebuyers, tips for first-time homebuyers. So first things first, where to start, right? If we're at a clean slate, because again, I'm a first-time homebuyer, I think that's often one of the most confusing parts to navigate is, okay, I think I'm ready, but where should I start? I'm going to start off as a first tip to say you should start talking to a lender for a couple of reasons. One, it costs you nothing. Two, it's really never too early to start that process. Three, in my opinion, allow them to do a full hard credit check. Let them see the dirty laundry, because it's only going to set you up for success and allow you to make moves when you want to make moves. Jay, that's my first tip. Do you have anything to add to that?
I always try to promote that. It's free credit check. There's nothing wrong with it. And a lot of people, I just want to get this misconception out of the way, believe that when they get their credit pulled, no matter what kind of credit pull it is, their credit goes down. With a mortgage, that is not the fact. So if you have a lender that you're reaching out to just have initial discussions with, whether that's 1 year or 2 years in the future, doesn't matter. Like Nick said, get all the dirty laundry, air it out. If a lender pulls your credit, it does not affect your credit score. That is purely because if a lender pulls your credit, the credit companies know you can only get one mortgage in most instances. But for you as a first-time homebuyer, you're going to get one mortgage. Now, if you went and had your credit pulled by five different credit card companies and two different car lots, they're assuming you're buying a whole bunch of debt right now. But with a mortgage, that's not the case. And it's actually illegal for them to punish you by having your credit pulled from a mortgage lender, because they want you to shop for a better interest rate if that's what you want to do. So yes, exactly what Nick said. The second thing added on to that is, by letting a lender do a full makeup of what your current situation is, they're able to tell you what your limiting factor is. So that means what's actually holding you back from buying a house. Is it the $10,000 in credit cards, or is it you don't have enough money for down payment? Now, both of those two things are going to be different game plans. So if you're just going into it blindly and you say, first, I want to pay off my credit cards. Now you're going to have a more expensive house by the time you pay that off. You're going to have to basically save up, because you're now spending more money to pay off your credit cards. You're going to have to save up more money over a longer period of time to save up the right amount of cash. And home prices will have appreciated by that time. So now you're paying more money for the home when you eventually can buy it. So understand what your limiting factor is, and your lender will tell you that, again, all for free. So Nick, what's next?
Yeah, I just want to address that timeline one more time, because I really want to hit home on this one for first-time home buyers. We're in August right now. And if you say, I think I want to buy sometime in 2022, literally do it this week. And here's why, because then you know what moves you can and can't make, whether it be next week, whether it be next month of September, or if meeting with a lender was your blessing in disguise, because we need to improve that credit a bit. In which case, it gives you time to say, okay, I can still have that goal by December. So now me and my significant other need to buckle down between now and October to really pay down, whether it's pay down the debt, the credit cards, consolidate loans, and it gives time for that to take place. So another thing that I can personally speak on behalf of with me and my wife, when we're looking to get a house, that it gave us time. So if you think you want to buy today, do not just wait until that moment in time that you have that thought to say, I want to buy this weekend. Now I need to go get pre-approved. I would argue that's too late, especially if, again, you don't know where your credit is exactly. You don't know what your debt to income is. It's a risky line to walk, and it creates a lot of false hope, unfortunately.
And just to, again, piggyback off that with a quick little story. I had a client who wanted to do a refinance about a year ago, and he had just paid off of his truck. He just paid off his truck. It was $9,000. And he was like, yeah, I paid off my truck. My credit score should be better. I'll get a better interest rate. Pulled his credit. The truck did nothing for his credit. Didn't do anything. And what really needed to happen to have a better credit score was pay a few credit cards down, a couple hundred dollars. So think of that for a second. The thought that, hey, I have less of a big debt should bump my credit score so off base that he now overpaid thousands of dollars to try to get a better credit score before talking to a lender versus what a few hundred dollars would have done to get him a much better credit score. Those are the types of insights that you just won't have unless you have this full markup done by your lender.
It's amazing how many conversations I've had that they're very vague. You're just like, I want a nice house, at least a couple bedrooms. Be specific. Write down a list. Again, if it's a significant other, knowing if you have a kid on the way, if you have two kids already, what ages he or she or they are. Like, I think those are all important to be as specific as you can be and create your ideal. Here's our picture perfect situation, because now you can always rewind off of that. You can always unravel that. Okay, now that I know what a 4-bed, 3-bath, 2,000 square foot home costs in this area, okay, we can't afford that. But we can look at a 3-bed, 2-bath, or we can look at a 4-bed, 2-bath, or we can drive a little bit farther and get that. But now you have a reference point to go from versus, oh, I think I want a nice house and it doesn't really matter. And all of a sudden you start looking at the thousands of options and you feel overwhelmed real quick because you don't know what you're looking for. And so preferences is where I would go next for first-time homebuyers. And again, get specific. Don't be afraid to get specific. Doesn't mean you're going to get everything, but again, it gives you that reference point to work off of.
There's a lot of people that when they don't have that first meeting with a lender and they don't have their preferences, they just say, here's how much I'm comfortable paying. I think we all have that in mind. I'm comfortable paying this amount of money per month for my mortgage. That's great, but sometimes that's just not reality. I want this $400,000 house, but I only want a $1,000 mortgage. We can't just make numbers up like this and then be disappointed when it's, my lease ends in 3 months, so I have to move and that's the only payment that I'm comfortable with making. Understand what your preferences are, what your preferred house payment is, and see if those two align with reality. And you can do that with online mortgage calculators, or you can do that with talking to your lender and they can say, hey, you know, these are about what interest rates are. And by also having those preferences, going back to meeting with a lender, if you have those preferences, you say, I want to make this month payment or I want to buy this much house, the lender can tell you, yes, right now you can buy that, or you need to do these things in order to get to that house payment or to get to that amount of house being bought. So really understand what you want and bring those up to your professionals in your sphere as well so that you understand exactly what options are available to you.
Now, on that note, as you're creating your preferences, the lender's not going to be able to help you decipher what's on the market, what's not. So talk to an agent. Talk to an agent. It's okay at this point in time, if you're not actively looking at houses, talk to 2 or 3, bounce questions off them, ask them what the current market conditions are. Because I think there again, as first-time homebuyers, you hear a whole lot of stuff. And sometimes it's hard to know exactly what's going on because you turn on the news in the morning and they're saying one thing. And then you hear from a friend that this happened and you hear from your cousin that they just bought a house and they only had to do this. And why can't you get that same deal? So talk with the professional in the space that you ideally want to buy in to, again, have a sit down with them, get a coffee, meet at a Starbucks, meet at their office and see, fish for information and share with information that you've heard. Hey, I heard that interest rates are rising. What does that mean? Why does that affect me? If you're a first-time homebuyer, you may really not know what that means. And have some questions lined up. There's the internet at your fingertips. What are the best questions to ask a real estate agent? There's your answers to say, what would I ask them? Again, just type that simple question in Google and it's going to pop up a minutia of answers for you to say, ooh, I like that. And have that be a starting point.
Let's give a real-world example of here in Denver. So if you were looking to buy a condo in the middle of COVID, so we're talking end of 2020, early 2021, and you're like, I just want to buy a condo. I don't want to deal with the yard. I'm okay paying for an HOA. but I keep hearing that the housing market is the hottest it's ever been and no one can buy a house. Well, see, that's where, to Nick's point, having a professional talk with you about your preferences and your goals would help. Because during that time, yes, single family homes were selling like hotcakes. You couldn't get one even if you offered your literal right arm or kidney for it. But the condo market in Denver was actually a buyer's market. How would you have known that if you don't have someone in your corner actually making sure that the information you're receiving is tailored to your goals? So that's just another reason why it's even more important to have that free conversation with a realtor about what your preferences are and what housing looks like for what your goals are. Great point on that.
I can't emphasize this one enough. If you're not in the current market, you don't know what the market is. Too many people want to compare this market, today's market with March, two different markets. They want to compare this one with 3 years ago, two different markets.
Yes.
It's only relevant when you're dealing with the now. So stop comparing to say, oh, do you think we'll get back to 2020 prices? No. Like, deal with today, deal with the facts. Here's where we're at and make decisions accordingly.
Yep.
I guess you can always hope because that never hurt anybody. But hope definitely never moved the needle either. So just things to be mindful of. Deal with the facts as they're playing out because I don't know. I just think it's the most realistic space to work from versus, again, thinking that,
agreed,
if I wait for this to happen, then maybe that'll happen. And again, a professional agent is going to be able to give you real-time facts. And if they are, by the way, they probably aren't the best agent to work with if they can't clearly tell you what's happening with current market conditions.
Yeah. Ifs and buts for candy nuts, I'll have a Merry Christmas.
You alluded to, gosh, how did you term it exactly? Someone is making X amount of dollars and they wanted to be able to have a mortgage for X amount of dollars. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, a lot of that's alluding, correct?
A preferred
That's alluding
payment?
To their credit score in terms of what they can afford or not afford. So
it has an
credit
effect.
Matters.
Yep.
Can you expand a little bit more on that coming from the mortgage space?
Yeah, let's talk about why credit matters. And the two big things that credit is going to affect is it's quite a few things, actually. If you don't have a certain credit or above a certain credit, you can't get a mortgage to begin with. So if you are in the low 600s, and I'm talking 620 or lower, you have...
But can you get a mortgage?
You can get a mortgage at 620. You have to have a lot of what they call compensating factors. So remember, if you had $400,000 to buy a house, you'd go buy a house and not have to borrow it. But if someone's going to lend you $400,000, they want to make sure that you can pay it back. And if you have a 620 credit score, it means you haven't been too good at paying back your previous debts. So here's where you have to prove that you can actually do that. There has to be other compensating factors. It's not important to this conversation, but just know it's possible, but there's a lot of work ahead of you. If you're below 620, good luck. You can probably get a mortgage from somewhere, but it's going to cost you a literal arm and a leg just to get an interest rate.
So you're not to pay getting the lowest interest rates available.
And that's
fair to say.
Heck no. If you're seeing some advertisements that are like 4% interest rates for the key there is well-qualified buyers, you are not a well-qualified buyer because you have a 620 credit score.
What is well-qualified real quick?
The other area, yes, well-qualified. So in the mortgage world, anything above 740 is considered perfect. So if you have a 740 credit score or you have an 800 credit score, you get the same pricing. You get the same interest rates offered to you. Anything in between the 680 to 720 or to up to the 739, you're seeing better interest rates and it generally goes up every 20 points in credit. So from 620, the next hurdle would be 640. If you're above 640, up to 680, you're getting different rates. So you slowly get better rates the closer and closer you get to 740. The first thing is, of course, the interest rate. Can you even get one? That's based on your credit. Can you even get a credit or an interest rate offered to you? But then also your mortgage insurance. A lot of people don't realize this, but you don't have to put 20% down to buy a mortgage, which we'll get to that here in a second. But if you put less than 20% down, you have mortgage insurance. Everyone says they hate it. But at the same time, if you have a really good credit score, you can get really inexpensive mortgage insurance where your mortgage insurance is only $50 to $100 for your $400,000 house versus if you're someone with low credit score, you're going to be paying a couple hundred dollars per month in mortgage insurance. So that's another factor you have to think of when you are thinking of how your credit's going to impact your buying ability. And we'll get to some other things here in a second, but that's the biggest thing that credit does when it comes to buying your first home.
Let me think. From a credit standpoint, people want to increase it. Correct me if I'm wrong. Best ways to increase credit score, pay down debts such as credit cards, and more specifically, pay down meaning get below the 50% threshold. So if you have if your credit card maxes out at 10,000, make sure that's below at least $5,000. Is that a realistic percentage and number to work off of?
The best one while still having debt on your credit card is below 30%. But at the same time, that's not where I see most people having troubles. It's actually people being overdrawn on a line of credit. So if they have a credit card and they missed a payment, or there was a late payment due and they didn't catch up with it, and being even $10 over their credit limit, that's where you get a bigger hit versus paying down to that 30% level. It's better to get all of your cards caught up than get your credit cards below certain.
So let's keep rolling into first-time home buyers. Tips and tricks to be mindful of. Down payment. Everybody says, I'm saving up for that. And yep, I took Jalen's tip. I'm not saving up 20%. I'm only saving up 5%. And job done. I saved up for my down payment.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize that there's the pesky lender fees. Someone has to get paid on that. And also this sneaky little thing called escrow. So your monthly insurance, homeowner's insurance, and taxes that get put into an account that you pay into monthly, so that when the taxes and insurance are due, they come out of that account that you don't have access to, but they get taken out of that account automatically on your behalf. So then you never have to worry.
As a first-time home buyer, need to save up for more than just the down payment when I'm buying a house. Okay. About how much ballpark?
Yes. Agreed. So for a first-time home buyer, you can go for as low as 3%.
Well, how about closing costs though? Because that's what you're alluding to. Yes. How much are closing costs in addition to down payment?
Yep. Closing costs, the biggest variant, and there's no precise number, but every lender's closing costs, including escrow funds, so fully funding your escrow. Let me break that down very briefly. Yep. You have your lender fees, appraisal, all that kind of stuff. That's one bucket. Then you have your taxes. So that's based on when your taxes are due and what month of the year you're paying for it. And then you also have your insurance, which you have to pay 12 months of insurance up front, plus
some reserve.
So if you miss a payment, they're not worried that you, exactly. So all of that combined, so your insurance, taxes, and your lender fees, among other things, generally floats between, and the biggest differentiator here is taxes. If there's an HOA in your taxes included or not, and all that good stuff, around
$6,000 to $7,000. Correct me if I'm wrong, 2-3% of purchase price for closing costs.
Yeah, that can... Yeah, you can use that as a very rough and you'll definitely be safe.
So let me paint this picture for our listeners. I'm going to use $500,000. You come in with 5% down. That gives you $25,000 down. There's your down payment. Your closing costs, 2-3% is going to be anywhere from $10,000 to $15,000 in addition to, let's guesstimate on the high end, $15,000. $15,000 plus $25,000 down payment puts us at $40,000 as a projected conservative number to work off of. To say, if I want to buy a house at $500,000, I need to come in with that. Again, that's coming with 5% down. That's coming with a little bit more than the bare minimum, but just wanted to use round off numbers for the listener out there as an example.
Yep. Yeah. And so 5% down, that's great. If you do want to do 3% down, that'd be $15,000 plus the $15,000 in closing. So that's $30,000. So just be aware of that. And there's always other things. And so this is why it really is important to talk to a lender and talk with a realtor so that you can get a better idea of these costs, because the realtor will tell you, here's what the average HOA is costing in that area if you're getting a townhouse or a condo. And the lender will tell you, here's how much taxes are in that area and how much insurance I'm seeing for that area. So they'll be able to give you a much cleaner number. And so you find maybe, hey, it is closer to $6,000 than the $15,000. The best case scenario for what I'm shopping for. Or they'll say, here in North Denver, there's an area called Brighton. Brighton's taxes for homeowners includes an HOA, so their taxes are significantly higher than other parts of Denver. And so if you're saying, I want to live in North Denver, that's going to be costing you significantly more amount of money per month. And so your closing costs are going to be significantly more because their taxes are significantly higher. Be aware of this. Get with someone that can pull these numbers for you, and it's all free.
So I'll just conclude with this one, because I think we touched on some very good points, obviously very important points, otherwise we wouldn't have touched on them. Nonetheless, I want to share with our listeners out there, I personally host a first-time buyer, and then I have a follow-up home buyer workshop online. That is at no cost, and I do that just via Zoom. I also bring in a lender and a financial advisor on those conversations. So a first-time home buyer, maybe you're not ready right now. You're just like, yeah, this is 2 years away from me. No problem. But let's get that money working for you. And let's talk to a financial advisor to see how you can use interest in your favor versus shoving that money after each paycheck under your mattress. And yeah, you're saving, but how can we stimulate that saving for you? So just be mindful of that. So reach out to me. You have my contact information below. So feel free to reach out if that's something that you want to link to. So I got a first-time homebuyer workshop in October, the first Tuesday in October in that evening. And then in November, that first Tuesday in the evening there, I have a homebuyer workshop. So something to be mindful of. Again, just another resource to answer questions for prospective homebuyers out there. And as always, if you have any questions, feel free to reach out to us on our website or emails, all linked below. We're here to help you through the home buying process every step of the way. So if you're interested in learning more, be sure to subscribe to our podcast or wherever you are seeing or listening to this so that you never miss an episode. We will be back on Friday for the Business Bookend, where we are talking about how to set realistic goals for your business and stick to them. Are you setting good goals? If you don't know or are unsure, you won't want to miss this one. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you Friday. Thanks, everyone.
Hey, thanks again for listening. If you want to hear more of Jalen McKenna, Colorado's Mortgage Dad, and his take on the Colorado real estate market, or just mortgages and mortgage news in general, check out the links below.
Also, check out the links below for more information on products, books, or references made in this podcast. And please don't forget to subscribe, like, and share.